Governments around the world have made urgent and unprecedented responses to the pandemic, impacting everything from health systems to education, jobs, housing, and society. Many of these changes have only been possible thanks to the official emergency powers that have been agreed to by parliamentarians, including in New South Wales, where some 12 emergency powers are granted to a select group of ministers. But this comes with a responsibility. And Mia Armitage asked Greens member of the Legislative Council, David Shoebridge, who is chair of the committee, what sort of concerns there are in the recent state emergency powers that were passed.
The way in which the legislation was rushed through Parliament, I think, was a problem at the time. The government was facing real challenges in timing. They did consult with other political parties, you know, prior to bringing the legislation on, but that consultation was very hurried. And look, I understand that something needed to be done urgently. I do believe we have seen the government in New South Wales jealously guarding information and jealously guarding their powers, and they've been quite reticent to open up to scrutiny or open up to alternate ideas.
Having emergency powers is somewhat different to actually exercising them. What examples can you give us of any of these emergency powers that have actually been used already?
The public health orders that have been issued, that lockdown that happened, that was through a form of emergency powers under the Public Health Act in New South Wales. The ability of police to enforce those public health orders. The police were given those powers in the emergency legislation that went through. We've also seen the Attorney General, you know, step up and effectively rewrite the rule book for how criminal and civil cases proceed in New South Wales. That, I think, has been necessary, and I think the Attorney General has consulted with the heads of jurisdiction of the different courts in taking those steps. But we have effectively seen our criminal justice system rewritten and reworked. We've also seen...
Do you have any concerns in particular about some of those changes?
I don't think there's any question that when you go from in-person trials where witnesses are called and examined in real life to having it happen online or on paper basis, there's no question that the quality of justice diminishes when you do that. But of course, you know, it's a tension here, isn't it, between ensuring that the criminal justice system can continue, but also respecting the need for social distancing in the course of the pandemic. But, you know, how that's working in practice, I think, is something that absolutely needs to be oversighted, as does the expansion of police powers. I think there are a number of concerns in that sort of police criminal justice area that are quite rightly the subject of oversight.
I understand some people have got concerns too about powers to fast track development approvals.
I have heard many, many people raise the concern with me about the expanded powers given to the planning minister. And indeed, when those powers were being debated in Parliament, I made it clear that the only reason the Greens were supporting those powers was because of an undertaking given by the government that they would only be used expressly to deal with infrastructure required for the purposes of addressing the pandemic. The government made it very clear that it wasn't intended to be a get-out-of-jail-free card for obligations on developers going forward. Since, of course, they've got those powers, there's been significant discussion from the development industry about using those powers to effectively greenlight any project that the government wants to see get up and run. And if that does happen, that will be a direct breach of faith with the Parliament, who gave the powers for a very limited purpose.
On the other hand, I have also heard from the likes of one of your colleagues, and that's Jenny Leong, about changes to rules around residential and commercial leasing agreements across the state. She was wanting the minister in charge of that area to actually hurry up and use the emergency powers that he'd been granted. So I suppose it can go both ways when it comes to emergency powers, that responses could be that people want them to be used less or more. So if someone has an opinion on these kind of emergency powers, is there a way that they can get in touch with people on the committee to share that view and to have a say in what the committee is doing in its investigation?
Well, people are very welcome to contact me, either on my parliamentary email or contact me through the committee website. At this stage of the inquiry, we haven't opened up the public submission because we wanted to focus on the government responses and government witnesses. But when or if submissions open up, that will be notified on the committee website, and obviously we'll be communicating that more broadly to the media. But you are very right to point out that different sectors of the community will be asking, some will be desperately demanding that these emergency powers be enacted. Others will be very cautious about the emergency powers being used. I want to be clear, as one of the Greens representatives in the Parliament, we did support and voted for the emergency measures. We supported them going through Parliament, but we did so on the basis that there would be continuing oversight of how these powers are exercised. So you're right, we acknowledge the need to have emergency powers. There are some that we think haven't been exercised enough, and that is powers to protect tenants in particular from eviction and rent rises. But there are other powers that we think have been exercised perhaps too aggressively. And that's why you don't just grant powers, but you oversight them.
Greens Party's David Shoebridge there, member of the New South Wales Legislative Council, chair of the Parliamentary Oversight Committee, and speaking there with Bay FM's Mia Armitage.